This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I had a friend in seminary named Bob, and he began a chapel talk one morning by talking about a coach that he had in high school that he really loved. And every time the coach would pass him in the hallway, the coach would say to him, "How you living, Bob? How you living?" Not how you doing, how you living. This is the question that Jesus is asking us this morning as he asked the chief priests and the elders in his day. He had been teaching in the temple, and they came to him questioning him, "Who do you think you are? By what authority are you doing all the things you've been doing? And now in the temple teaching, who do you think you are?" So Jesus, being a good rabbi, he could have answered, "I am speaking by the authority of God, my Father." But he didn't do that, being a good rabbi. He answered their question with a question. And it was really a trick, because he was asking them about John the Baptist and what John the Baptist had been professing about repentance and the kingdom of God coming near. They didn't know what to do, because if they answered one way, they would be saying, yes, they believed in what John the Baptist was saying. And if they answered another way, the people would be mad at them because they knew John to be a prophet. And so they didn't answer at all. They said, "We don't know." And so then Jesus, as he frequently did, told them a parable. And the parable was about this dad, the two sons. He wanted them to go into the vineyard and work. And the one son says, "I won't do it." But he changed his mind, and he ended up doing the will of the Father. The second said, "I will go," and then he didn't. So he was a hypocrite. He was lying. He didn't do what he said he was going to do. And obviously, when Jesus asked them which was the one who did the will of the Father, they said the first. Well, he was actually presenting to them their own sins, their own foibles, because the Father represented God. The first son represented all those people in that Jewish community who had not been doing the will of God, the prostitutes and the corrupt tax collectors, who then heard from John the Baptist and changed their mind and did the will of the Father. The second son represented them, the chief priests and the elders, who talked a really good talk about the commandments of God, but we're not following through. We're not following through. How you living? He was asking them, as he asks us, how you living? Are we putting on the mind of Christ, as the Philippians advised us? Do we give God authority in our lives? Do we check in when we're in a difficult situation and ask for help, and then wait and listen? Do we really live that way? If you're like me, I need concrete examples of some human beings that have actually followed through on some of this stuff. It can be really difficult. So I'd like to tell you two stories, one of someone who was amazing, who lived a long time ago, and one who lived in our day, and in between, some practical advice that we can all use to begin living in this way of Christ. So the first is in honor of the feast day of St. Vincent de Paul, which was yesterday. He was born in the late 16th century to a peasant family, and they soon discovered that he was very intelligent, sent him off for education, and then he was ordained. And he realized about the age of 30 that his ministry was with the poor and the needy. And he started many different charities, including the Sisters of Charity, opened orphanages, because there were so many babies who had been abandoned in France at the time. And then he began to get irritated because he saw clergy, priests and bishops, who had no business being clergy. And he went to the king and complained. And the king said, okay, I'm going to put you in charge of helping us determine who should be clergy. And there was one young man that he decided was not fit to be clergy. And the mom didn't like that. And the mom was a noble woman. And she had a lot of status, a lot of money. And she came to him complaining. And Vincent said, I'm sorry. And she got mad. And so she picked up a stool and she threw it at him. And it cut his face. And he's walking out of the room with his companion. And this is what he said to his companion. Is it not wonderful how strong a mother's love for her son can be? How you living? Vincent wasn't willing to give in to the pressures from this woman, from status, from power. His authority came from God Almighty, from God first. We would do well to follow his example. I include myself when I say how quick we can be to judge. How quick we can be to criticize or to think we're not getting enough attention. And gossip can be really fun. I join you in that challenge of resisting that temptation. And so the practical advice that I mentioned I'd like to give you is one that we used to teach in the school. Father Marty's preached it. I know I've preached it before. And it's worth repeating several times a year. Before we speak, if you can't answer yes to these three questions, then don't say it. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? All three. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? I need to cut that out and paste it in my house for all to see, and in our cars and in our offices. Think of what a peaceful world would evolve just by that. Just by that. This following Christ and all of these moral teachings can be really difficult. And so the contemporary example that I find absolutely amazing comes from a golfer by the name of Roberto Di Vincenza. He played in some 230 tournaments around the world, I think eight on the PGA Tour. He won the U.S. Open in 1967, and he played in the Masters tournament in 1968. And he really won the tournament, but because his caddy wrote down a 5 on one of the holes instead of a 4, and as we know, the lower the score in golf, the better, he signed that card without realizing it was wrong. And in the game of golf, if you sign an incorrect card, you're disqualified from the tournament, and he was. And when asked if he was upset with his caddy, he said it was a mistake. Didn't really think about it. Later, you think that was good. Later, he was playing in another tournament and he won. They gave him a big check, really big check. Went in the locker room and he was taking his time. And by the time he left the locker room and walked out to the parking lot, he was the only one out there except for a young woman who approached him. She was obviously disheveled, very upset, complaining that her daughter was sick, her little baby daughter, in the hospital, didn't know how she was going to pay for the doctors, didn't know what to do. And so he signed his entire check over to her, gave her the entire thing, went on his way. A week later, he was in a country club, and one of the PGA officials came up to him and said, Roberto, I understand you gave your winnings to that young woman last week. And he said, well, yes, I did. And they said, well, you've been scammed. She didn't even have a daughter. And Roberto said, you mean there's no sick child? That's the best news I've had all year. How you living? Attitudes and perspectives develop over a lifetime. And for one who strives like we profess to do, all of us in the way of Christ, we can rest in the reassurance that we do not do this alone. There are angels all around us, and the very presence of Christ in our midst. And with Christ, we can do all things. Amen.
Amen.